Welcome to Entrepreneurship at Rowan, an official production of the award-winning Rowan Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We cover the entrepreneurial pulse of Rowan students, faculty, and alumni. Prepare to be Rowan proud.
Hello, Rowan University. My name is Aiden Smazian, and I am your host for Season 4 of the Entrepreneurship at Rowan podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Christopher Greco, President of Brands and Marketing at Ginzy Home Solutions, and of course, a member of Rowan's Entrepreneurship Advisory Council. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's hop right into our lightning round here. Number one question, what is a goal, either professional or personal, that you have for 2024?
I would say mentoring, receiving and giving. I feel like that's... I love giving back, but you can never stop learning. So that's certainly an area I'd like to focus more on in 24.
Are there any specific areas that you want to focus your mentorship on?
Well, I would say certainly the more I could be involved with Rowan and the students and how I can, you know, certainly give back is always rewarding. But for me personally, you know, expanding my knowledge and more than maybe I've maybe not had reach into digital communications. I think there's always ways to push the boundaries.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. All right. Next up, what is the best pizza topping?
Oh, sausage.
By sausage. Far. Okay.
Yeah. Sausage. Yeah, I would say sausage. Sure.
If you could only vacation in one place for the rest of your life, where would it be?
I would say Italy, specifically the Amalfi Coast. My wife and I just spent some time there over the summer, celebrating a milestone birthday and milestone anniversary. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Yeah, I would say for sure.
That's great. Really. Congratulations. I'm actually going to Italy this summer, so I'll have to ask for some recommendations.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll connect.
Great. All right. Last up, what is your favorite motivational quote or saying?
I would say that's life for a few reasons. One, I'm a big fan of Frank Sinatra. One of his signature songs is That's Life. Mm-hmm. But the reason I like it so much is because it really talks about the ups and downs in life. It's not rhythmically, it's fantastic, but the lyrics itself are really speak to those who have those moments when times could be at the worst, but there's always a moment where you're going to be back on top.
So. That's great. I love it. All right, so let's get into the actual questions now. So one thing that I've learned from doing this podcast so far is that despite the incredible successes of all the different EAC members, everyone has had a different background. So let's start there. What did you study in college, and why did you choose to pursue that educational track?
So studied advertising, design, marketing. It was a mixed bag simply because I grew up with a creative knack for just all aspects, really. You know, I could take things and crafting or drawing or even things with photography. And I was always finding myself pushing the limits, getting into any new technologies that were coming out. And you know, when I was growing up, it was very limited. But nevertheless, I was always trying to find ways. So I knew I wanted to take that into an area where I felt I could use my talents, but still learn and expand where, you know, I could in life succeed. And I just view that as just an advertising. I just loved mm-hmm. advertising. Any campaigns growing up and the fact that you're not only selling it from a creative aspect, you're selling it from, you know, the marketing and the content and copywriting. And there's so much tied to it. It just always felt like it was a great challenge. And that's really what Definitely. I pursued. Yeah.
So obviously the industry has changed significantly since when you started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it looked like back at that time?
It was, it was very rudimentary. You couldn't necessarily say it's quite easy today with technology. So of back course, then right. it was certainly a little bit more task driven. The industry itself was extremely competitive, getting into the best agencies, which are not as prominent today as it was back in the mm-hmm. 90s or even late 80s. So from looking at it of now to then, it's frankly just quite distant because I've the past 20 years of my life have been in consumer products. So still channeling all of those talents and what I've learned into CPG world, but the ad agency world is it's much different. And that's simply just because of technology. There's just a flood of, you know, you just look at influencers and you look at, you know, anyone with a computer can really create anything. You could create with your phone. Mm-hmm. So it's a much different landscape.
I bet, absolutely. And so when you initially started out studying design, what type of role were you hoping to pursue in your professional career?
Well, right out of college, I stepped into a role, fortunately enough, that was on path of, you know, what I was expecting to be. But I thought I was going to be an ad agency mogul. You know, I was going to be the guy calling all the creative shots and you know, making it a go, no go decisions and having these monster campaigns for Coke or Pepsi and, all of the major CPGs that are out there. But I was on the right path. You know, I came out of college working for a small design agency and I was there pushing the limits.
Very nice. So what did your role there look like?
I was a designer. I was fortunate enough to land a position with a former adjunct professor here at Rowan.
Okay.
He had a design agency that was producing all types of materials, even some light product design for Marvel.
Wow.
Their global office furniture. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few big accounts and some racing car enthusiast magazines and trading cards. Fleer was another one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great opportunity to get in, and one of the first products. It was a part product design and part packaging design was something I created that I found in FAO Swartz for the first time. It was just happened to be stumbling through and saw my product sitting in the floor.
Wow.
And that was the wow moment.
That's amazing.
You know, that really sets you off on a path of, it's exhilarating to find your work sitting in the mm-hmm. floor where you see people buying it. And it's really takes you to the moment where you see and know where you want to take your career.
Right. And so just touching on what exactly you mean by design, is that more so like the graphic design or like engineering-based design?
No, it wasn't product? Engineering. It wasn't engineering. A lot of it was mostly what I was able to produce was two-dimensional.
Got it.
So, part graphics, part, I've always had in my head worked three-dimensionally, even still now with my team, they're always amazed. They're like, wow, how are you able to put that down on paper like that? Mm-hmm. But I can't say technically that I'm trained, but it is, anything related in graphics, print, packaging, but also some product design that you can execute two-dimensionally. And a lot of my team still does that. You know, they still do that. They're able to do that through, basic graphics, Photoshop and Illustrator and and some of my team uses CAD and SolidWorks and other three-dimensional softwares.
And so with this initial role, would you say that you were mostly just on the design side, or did you also have access to like the business end of the company where you started to learn that side as well?
In the beginning, it was, I was gaining that knowledge of understanding where, your talents are. That's where I was also able to push the limits, even on with some marketing and contributing, from the copy content, things along those natures. But it really started out as, from going from an internship to part-time to full-time. So I was growing within the role and stayed with the company for a few years. And then moved on from there.
Great. So that's actually a perfect segue to my next question. You started working at Ginzy Home Solutions, which is where you currently are, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the company does and how you came to work there?
Like I said, prior years, you know, working for a small design firm. From there, I went to working for the owners of the Philadelphia Flyers and 76ers, Comcast Spectacor. There, I went to design agency. So I was with a design agency out of New York for 5 years. They closed the satellite office, and I thought, well, what's next for me? I was looking for, you know, maybe a bigger role within an agency in Philadelphia. And I came across this company by the name of, at the time, we were trading under Ginzy Industries, and it was privately owned by a family. And I saw that they were making crazy items like toilet seats and potty seats. And I thought, what on earth? This is in my backyard. At the time, I was living in Laurel Springs. And I thought, well, you know, I have to work, so let me take this job. I'll see how it goes. Right. And here I am, you know, come May, it'll be 20 years later that I've been with the organization. But Ginzy is a phenomenal company. It's a consumer products company. It was founded by Milton Ginsberg, who invented the soft toilet seat. Now, for everyone in the audience, sit down. I know it's a super exciting product, but it is, we held the patent for many years, and it was a dominant leader in the industry. But that afforded the company, through the access to, say, we'll call the bath department, or even known as domestics department within retail, to start branching out into other products. So that took us into home and bath products, even spa luxury type items. But that also then spanned into juvenile products. Since the product was being made in New Jersey, we're still making them in our plant in New Jersey, mostly the toilet seats, we started, which is through a heat sealing process. It's not a whole lot of manufacturing going on. We source components throughout the states, and then we assemble them in our New Jersey plant. And the only manufactured part is a heat seal,
right?
You know, which is vinyl just capturing components in the interior. Well, that then took us into, well, what else can be done? And this was already started by the time I joined the organization, is, well, perhaps we can make children's potty seats. And the owner at the time, Harry Haber, he had an extensive background in licensing, and he introduced it into the organization back in the 90s with, it started out with Warner Brothers, and it just grew from there. It signed on Sesame Street, and now juvenile is 50% of our business.
That's
and, you know, we have a stellar portfolio of brands under the Disney, Maine, Nickelodeon, Playtex, Sesame Street, Bluey, we just signed. I mean, it really just goes on and on. Universal, NBC. So, and then the other 50% of our business is home, which is, you know, anything from Clorox and Arm & Hammer and all home-related related products. But also we're producing under private label with our customers like Walmart and Target and Amazon, Lowe's, Home Depot, so on and so on.
That's awesome. And it's right here in our backyard too, which is the coolest
part.
Based
in Swedesboro, New Jersey, yes.
That's great. So with your background in design and communication, how are you eventually able to move into a leadership role in business and product development within Ginzy?
Well, I was always eager of how we were making things. And you know, they immediately were drawn to my ability to hop in and understand, you know, what could be a workable item or a product that brings some ingenuity into a pretty stale area of innovation, lacking innovation. So I really found myself being challenged and also challenging myself to get into areas and learning. And through that, you know, the company grew. I was able to grow within the organization as the organization was growing. The family at the time sold to, made family arrangements and sold to private equity. We went from one private equity firm to another private equity firm. And our sponsor now is Gladstone Investments, and they're a fantastic partner, which has then, you know, afforded me the opportunity to bring newness. The company is always looking for ways and how we're going to expand into new markets, new categories. And it's pretty much what I'm tasked with. But yeah, I mean, it's been a great ride. And now, you know, having equity ownership in the company and just a great leadership team that I work with. It's really on a fantastic path, and we're really looking for some accelerated growth that we're excited for this year, next year, and
great
and beyond. Yeah.
Right. So obviously you mentioned the considerable growth of the company since you started there. How has your role shifted as it's continued to grow?
Well, I would say being able to take on more. You know, I came in basically to revamp the creative department and quasi-marketing department at the time. From there, I ended up taking on all of product development. That from there just spanned into, you know, having a reach into sales and also, you know, just understanding manufacturing. I've traveled overseas for 10 years. I've been averaging anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 times a year to Asia and Europe. And so I have a pretty thorough understanding of manufacturing, from injection molding, compression molding, even understanding of electronics and all sorts of certainly materials. So it's really, it's been a great ride, and it's given me the opportunity to, you know, continue that learning path.
So what does the vision look like for the future of Ginzy?
Well, I would say it's really about brand/product diversification. That's either with acquiring whether new brands. This year we're working on a new initiative. We're signing on with Crayola. So we're going to be expanding into a line of kids' items. I don't want to say too much until it's all firm, but we're excited with that. We're looking at other areas of how diversifying with our current brand partners, say Arm & Hammer and Clorox. But that's also, you know, it comes with acquisition of companies. We're always looking. Last year we had a great acquisition through an inventor at, on Shark Tank. So that was a great add-on. And always having those conversations, whether it's IP acquisitions, company acquisitions, where Stephanie, our CEO's tasked with, you know, what does that growth look like from certainly from a company acquisition, which we're looking at now, different options there. You know, from my corner of the business, it's definitely that brand product expansion. So it's, you know, it's not always easy, but you know, you just keep moving ahead and it all falls into place.
Right. And I mean, at first you mentioned one of your main products was toilet seats. You wouldn't think of that as very, very innovative or new, but it sounds like you guys are constantly pushing the needle and bringing in new ideas and new products, which is just amazing.
And it's the brand compliments, you know, having a brand like Clorox that speaks to the, you know, the efficacy of cleanliness and antibacterial, and introducing that during an era of COVID when all minds were, you know, everyone's wearing masks and wearing gloves and staying home. And the last thing you want to do is, or, you know, having germs in your household, and how are you going to combat that? So Walmart was the first to sign on, and, you know, it's finding ways of having great partners to build lines that, you know, really speak to the consumers and deliver value and, you know, some innovation.
And what would you say is one lesson that you've learned throughout your growth and everything that's taken you up to this point?
Well, you never give up. You never give up. You'll always find some challenging moments, you know, in your career, but that doesn't necessarily mean even if you fail or things aren't going as planned, never give up, because, you know, especially in a world of entrepreneurship, and even, you know, within our organization, we have so many great team members always bringing ideas, but some ideas may be old and, you know, they may not necessarily work, but what's old is new again. So you can find a way to bring that to life if you have the perseverance to keep going.
So we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about your involvement with the EAC. So that started back in 2018. And how did this opportunity come about? How did you get involved with?
It's been relatively consistent with the team in 2018, but my first contact was prior, I think maybe 2015, 2016. Okay. It was Linda Ross who had reached out to me, who found me on LinkedIn and said, we're having this this contest. It's called a New Venture Competition. Would you mind being a judge? I thought, wow, this is fantastic. I'd love to, We just had moved to the, my family and I had just moved to the area. Rowan was in the backyard. I thought, this is really great. So sat in, I think the original contest was maybe in Buntal.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. It was before the Roar building was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then reconnected a few years after, and it was Dr. Dominic and I had connected. He was, looking for, I think it was, again, the new venture competition. Met Dr. Liguori, and from there it was just, it's been consistent. I was asked to join the advisory board, which I have. From there, I joined the RIVF fund board, advisory board there. So it's been great, and I dedicate as much time as I possibly can with the students or on the back end, anything that's asked of me of the team. It's been great.
That sounds great, and especially since you've been involved since the very start. So a follow-up question on that, how would you say things have changed in the program, both from the level of the businesses that you see from the students and then also just the program as a whole?
Wow, I mean, it's, you really can't even compare it. It's taken off, I credit all of the team who's been a part of EAC. It's the level of work that the students put forth in their thinking and their professionalism and, their confidence, speaking in front of the board, whether it's at the expos or the competitions, speaking one-on-one, interns who I've, had within Ginzy, it's phenomenal. And seeing the successes, I look at which originally was Topos Tea,
right,
is now
Half Day,
yep. And their growth has been, and that was actually when I started reignited my involvement with Dr. Dominic, and I sat on as one of the judges, and we voted them in, as the best, and here they are. Their market placement is tremendous, Whole Foods and Target, and
right.
They've done a fantastic job. So it's, that's a testament to the school and how the program really can help you succeed.
Mr. Greco, thank you very much for your time today. This was an amazing episode. Super glad we could get you out. And for all of you at home, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening. Rowan is proud to be an official knowledge hub of the International Council for Small Business. Our AACSB award-winning entrepreneurship programs challenge students to solve real problems in bold and impactful ways. If you're interested in supporting entrepreneurship at Rowan or want to get more involved by hiring an intern, speaking to a class, or being featured as a case study, contact us at rcie@rowan.edu.